Shalom to all. Today's office of our Basar Daf Kuf Samach Ches. We're starting about the eighth line at the two dots with a quote from the Mishnah of Abal Nes and Schar V'chulu. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Basar Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. As the Mishnah said, Abal Nes and Schar V'chulu, that the husband has to pay for the writing of the get. Ask the Gemara my time, why is that? Because Amar Kar, the pasuk tells us because of an osan, he writes and gives. Now the pasuk is really saying that he writes a get and gives it to his wife, but the drasha is that he has the get written and he has to pay for the writing of it. However, in the Lev Din and Hachi nowadays we don't do this. Shadu Rabban and Isha, they're abundant through this. Meaning they require the woman to pay for the writing of the get, keichad loyishaya, so the husband shouldn't delay. Sometimes the husband's going to have a get written, but he's going to refuse to give it until his wife pays for the cipher, the scribe who wrote the get, and therefore the chum just said, now the payment's transferred to the woman all across the board. The Mishnah continues saying, kusun shtar loyva alfa pishen malva imoy v'chulu, and that the loyva, the borrower, has to pay for the shtar, as we're pshita, that's obvious. He's the one that's gaining over here because he's borrowing money, so of course he has to pay the cipher's fee. The answer is, letzrich lechidash is, but isko, we're talking about an iska type of deal, which is where both parties stand to gain. We have an investor, he's giving the funds, and then the managing partner who's borrowing the funds and he's giving some of the profit to the investor. So over here, it's not a pure halva, it's not a pure loan, because again, some of the profits are going to the investor. So you might think the loiva does not have to pay for everything. The chiddush is, he does. Continue on. We said, and the lekeach, the buyer, he's the one that has to pay for the shtar. Asking Rav Pshita, that's obvious. He's the one that's gaining. He's purchasing the thing. So of course, he has to pay for the shtar. The answer is, the chiddush is, where the guy is selling his field because it's no good, it's inferior, maybe it doesn't produce enough produce. And so you might say that the meicher is the one that's gaining over here, because he's finally getting rid of his field, and so he should have to pay for it. The chiddush is no, the lekeach is always the one that's considered to be gaining. We continue in kusun shtar erusin v'chulu. We say the chasson is the one that has to pay for the shtar. The gemara asks pshita, that's obvious. He's the one that's gaining over here. The answer is letzrich the chiddush is that afilu tzuvim rabbanon, even if the chasson is a talmud chacham, denichalei lechemul akrayve, that the father-in-law, meaning a future father-in-law, he wants his guy to be his son-in-law. He wants him to be his relative because he's a talmud chacham. So you might say the father-in-law is the one that's gaining, so he should have to pay for it. The chiddush is that no, the chasson always has to pay. Continuing on in kusun shtar erusin kablanos v'chulu, and we said the aris, the one who's taking the field, he's the one's going to be working it. He has to pay for the shtar. Once again, the Gemara asks Pshita, that's obvious. He's the one that's gaining. The chiddush is letzricha bebura. It's where part of the stipulation is that he has to leave the field. He has to let it lie fallow, and he's not allowed to plant it for a certain amount of time. So you might say he's not really gaining fully, and therefore he doesn't have to pay for the cipher's expenses. The chiddush is he still does. We continue. And comes in shtar beruin elam dashneim v'chulu. As the Gemara explains, my shtar beruin. What exactly is shtar beruin? We have two different explanations. Hach over here on Bavel Targum would explain shtar tanasa. It's a shtar with the tainas written in it. We have two litigants coming to Bezin, Reuven and Shimon, and each one says their tainas, their claims. Those are written down in a shtar. And that's shtar beruin. Over here, beruin is lashon of clarify. That we have to clarify, we have to make clear what their opinions are, and that's written in a shtar. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Abba Amar, he explains differently. Zeb barer le'echad v'zeb barer le'echad. Each one chooses a dine for himself. Beruin over here is lashon of choosing. This one, we have two litigants, Reuven and Shimon, and they want to come to Bezin, but they have to choose who their Bezin is. So each one chooses a dine for themselves, zeb barer le'echad v'zeb barer le'echad, and their pick of dine is written down in a shtar. And finally, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amar l'shnei cousin Shnaim, Rav Shimon Gamliel said that when it comes to shtar beruin specifically, we're actually going to write two separate shtaris, and each one is going to walk away with their own shtar. This is referring to the first explanation of shtar beruin, where their tainas are being written down in the shtar. So I think Mara suggests lehim b'kayfen al midas sedaim kamifikli. Let's say the machloikas Tanakam Rav Shimon Gamliel is regarding kayfen al midas sedaim. The Mishnah Avos tells us that there's something called midas sedaim. When a person says shali shali v'shalcha shalcha, what's mine is mine, is what's yours is yours. That's considered midas sedaim. That's not a good midah. And kayfen al midas sedaim means that we're going to force a person not to act like that. So it seems to me that's what the machloikas says. Tanakama holds yes kaifin, and Rav Shimon Gamliel holds in kaifin. In other words, when one of the litigants, either Reuven or Shimon, says, I'm not paying for the shtar to be written because I'm not interested in my tainas being next to your tainas in the shtar. I want my own shtar with my tainas, and you have a shtar with your tainas. That's called midas sedaim. Shali shali v'shalcha shalcha. And the Tanakama holds kaifin al midas sedaim, that we're going to force him not to act like that, and I'll have to pay for a joint shtar. Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel seems to say that in kaifin al midas sedaim, that even though he's acting like a person from sedaim, saying, I want my own shtar, that's not a problem, and we'll write that separate shtar for him. Gemara explains that lie, that's not so. The Kulei Alma Kaifin, really, when we have a case of Midas Sedaim, we will force a person not to act like that. V'hachan, utam Rav Shimon Gamliel. Over here, Rav Shimon Gamliel's reason is different. The Amar Lei is because one of the litigants could tell the other, Loi nichali d'haviz chusach gabiz chusi. I don't want your schusim to be on my mind. I don't want your tainas to be written in the same shtar as mine. The Domus Aloi ki arya arva. To me, you're like a lion ready to pounce. You're a contentious fellow, always making issues. And if there's only one shtar that has both of our tainas right next to each other, you're going to look at the shtar, see what my tainas are, and try to make issues. Therefore, I want my own shtar with my tainas, you have your shtar with your tainas, so that there are no issues made. And that's a valid claim, and it's not considered midas sedaim. And moving on to another Mishnah, Misha Bar Mitzvah Chayvai, a fellow paid part of his chayv. So Reuven owed Shimon $100, and he paid 50 of it. And the shtar was given to a third party to hold on to. He told him, if I don't give you the remainder of the money by a certain date, tell his shtar, give him his shtar back, and he'll be able to collect the entire thing. So using our example that he already paid 50%, he tells the guy, if I don't pay the other 50% by this certain date, give him the shtar back, and I'll have to pay a full 100%. He gazman v'lo nasan. Let's say that time arrived and he didn't pay the remaining amount. Rabbi Yosi Amar Yitain. Rabbi Yosi says the shtar is given back to the malveh, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says lo yitain, it's not to be given. The Gemara is Mike Milvigi. What's a machlokes? The answer is Rabbi Yosi savar asmachta kanya. Rabbi Yehuda savar asmachta lo kanya. Rabbi Yosi holds asmachta is binding. That's the lashon of kanya. It doesn't mean that there's a kinyan. It means that it's binding. And Rabbi Yehuda holds asmachta is not binding. What's asmachta? So this is when a person says something very similar to the Mishnah. He says that I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Maybe I'll pay a certain amount of money, or I'll do something in particular if I don't do something else by a certain time. And that's considered asmachta. Asmachta is milashon smach, that he's relying on the fact that he's going to be able to do it. And the question is whether or not asmachta kanya, is it considered binding? Rabbi Yehuda holds asmachta loy kanya, that the guy's not really serious. He's really soimich on the fact that he's going to be able to pay on time, and he's just saying that I'm going to give you extra money, or I'm going to do X, Y, and Z if I don't do so, in order to encourage himself to do it. But again, he really thinks he's going to be able to do the thing that he's claiming that he's going to be doing, and therefore asmachta is not binding. Whereas Rabbi Yosi holds that no, asmachta is binding. And even though he really thinks he's going to end up paying on time, if he didn't end up doing so for whatever reason, it's his tough luck and he's going to end up having to pay more. Now, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Amar Rav, Halach Rabbi Yosi, Halach Rabbi Yosi, that asmachta is binding. And he also committed Rabbi Ami, when they came to Rabbi Ami with cases of asmachta, Amar Lui told them, Bechime Achash Rabbi Yochanan Mlamdenu, Pam Rishaino Ushnia, Halach Rabbi Yosi, Ani Ma'ase. Since Rabbi Yochanan had taught us once and twice, then Halach Rabbi Yosi, what am I supposed to do? Asmachta is koine. However, the Gemara concludes, Ve'ein Halach Rabbi Yosi, the Halach is not like Rabbi Yosi. And moving on to another Mishnah. A fellow had a shtar chayv. Reuven had a shtar that Shimon owed him $100, and it got erased. Maybe some water fell in it. Something happened, and now the entire document's erased. What does he do? Mamet all of Edim. He brings Edim. Ubalfnei Bezdin. He comes to Bezdin. Va'isn le'kiyum. They're mekayim what was written in the shtar, and they say as follows: Ish pliny ben pliny nimchak shtaroi. This guy, Mr. So and so, his shtar was erased, and the date that was written on it was biyam pliny. This particular date. Kofsam chesam based on top. Upliny pliny edov, and so and so were the Edim signed on the shtar, and so now Reuven has a shtar. The Gemara now brings a brayza that expounds on this. Tanur Rabbanan, the brayza tells us, Ezu kiyumai, what is the kiyum of an erased shtar? It says as follows, B'maisav tlasa vina anu pliny upliny upliny. We three sat down together. This is referring to the three dayanim, and they write their names, pliny pliny upliny, Rabbi so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. Haitzi pliny ben pliny shtar machlefaneinu. This guy, Mr. So-and-so, brought an erased shtar in front of us. The date that was written on the shtar was B'yayim pliny, and upliny pliny edav, so-and-so were the edim on that shtar. Now, v'im kasav bai, if on this confirmation of Bezdin, the following was also written, his kaknu le'edusan shel edim, we delved into, we looked into the edus of these edim, v'nimtzis edusan m'chuvenes, and turned out what they were saying was good, gaiva v'einu tzarech lavi raya, he could collect with the shtar and he doesn't have to bring a raya. V'imla, but if not, tzarech lavi raya, he does have to bring a raya. In other words, we know that when a regular shtar comes to Bezdin, that Reuven wants to collect from Shimon, we often have to validate the shtar. We have to make sure that it's 100% true and that it's not a forgery. As that's what the Bresa just told us. We have this erased shtar that was brought in front of us, and Bezdin's confirming what was written in the shtar. They're not validating that Reuven actually lent $100 to Shimon. They're just confirming that that's what was written in the shtar. That's all they're signing off on. However, as the Braisa said, if they delved into the edus of the edim, they asked the edim, did this loan actually take place? Is it really true? Did everything that was written in the shtar actually happen? So then, Reuven can use the shtar to collect, and they don't have to validate the shtar afterwards, like a regular shtar, because it was already validated. However, if those words, huskaknu le'edusan shel edim, so on and so forth, were not written in the shtar, then all the Bezdin was doing was simply confirming that this is what was written in the erased shtar, but not that that's what actually happened. And again, if Reuven wants to collect with it, he would now have to prove that he actually lent Shimon the money. Continuing to discuss other shtars, nikra pasul. If a shtar comes in front of us and was torn by a human, it's pasul. Niskareya, but if it was torn by itself, kosher, then it's kosher. Nimcha kanitashtesh, if it got erased or the letters got smudged, imishumay nikr, if we could still see the roshim, we could still see the outline, if you will, of the letters, you could still read what was written here, even though it's not clear, kosher, it's still kosher. Now we analyze, hechidami nikra, hechidami niskareya. What does it mean that it was torn by a person and that it was torn by itself? So Rabbi Yehuda explains, Nikra, Karashal Bezdin. When it says Nikra, that it was torn by a person, that means Bezdin tore the shtar. Whereas Niskareya, when we say it was torn by itself, that really means Karashal Einishal Bezdin, that somebody tore it, but Bezdin wasn't the ones that tore it. Hechidom Karashal Bezdin, what does it mean that Bezdin tore it? So Rabbi Yehuda explains, Makam Edum, Makam Azman, Umakam Atayref. If the place where the Edom are signed, where the date is written, and the Tayref, which is the main part of the shtar, if that was torn, that's called the Karashal Bezdin, and that means that the shtar is puzzle. Whereas if a different part of the shtar was torn, so then it's not puzzle. Whereas Abayam, Abay explains differently, Shasiva Erev, if the shtar is torn lengthwise and widthwise, meaning there's a big X shape or plus sign tear on it, so that's considered a tear by Bezdin, and that puzzles the shtar. And now we have a story. Hanu Arvoy the Asal Pombadisa, these Arabs came to Pombadisa, Davu Ka'ansi Arasa the Inchi, they were stealing people's lands, and not only would they steal the land, but they would also force the person to write a shtar that they bought the property. So now the guy really is not going to be able to get his property back. Now some smart landowners, in anticipation that their land might be taken away from them, did the following. Asumar Vasayu Lukmeda Abaye, these landowners came to Abaye, Amrulay, they asked him, Lichsi Mar Shtarei, we want you to see our shtaris, that we own these properties. And you should write another star for us that we own these properties. If one of our properties is taken away and we're forced to give up the title, we're forced to give up the deed to the property to these Arabs who are stealing it, we're going to still have another one in our hands. And then later on, when we get stronger, we're going to be able to go and take the property away, proving that it's really ours because we have another star. So Amar Lui told him, what am I supposed to do for you? The Amar of Safar, Safar says, we can't have two shtaris on one field, meaning we can't have two titles, two deeds written about the same property. Why is that? Dilma Tarif, Ahadir Tarif, maybe someone's going to take and then take again. What does this mean? So let's say we have Reuven who sold land to Shimon, Be'achrayas, which means if it gets taken away by Yisachar, he's the guy whose name we're going to be using because Reuven owes Yisachar money, Shimon could come back to Reuven to get reimbursed. Now after this, Reuven sold the field to Levi and then he sold the field to Yehuda and then Yisachar came along and took Shimon's field away because of his debt that he has with Reuven. And now Shimon goes back to Reuven, want to get reimbursed, and Reuven can't reimburse him. So Shimon could go to Levi and take that property away from Levi. Now, in a standard case, Shimon would now have to hand over his title to Levi so that he can't collect more than once. The problem is, if Shimon has two shtaris regarding the property they bought from Reuven, he's going to take out the second one and go to Yehuda, claiming it was taken away by Yisachar, and he's going to collect double. As Asar Abaye was telling them, I'm really sorry, but I can't write two shtaris for you. We're going to run into potential issues later on. Habakatar Dilei, they were making him a shuga, and they really wanted him to write two shtaris. So Amalei Safra, Abaye told his cipher, his scribe, Zilk Saivalhu, go write them the shtar that they want. However, write it as follows. Hu alamachak, the text of the shtar itself, the text of the deed, write on erased parchment, ve'edim alaniyar, and edim should be signed on the bottom, but the bottom shouldn't be erased. The puzzle, that's puzzle, and we've learned about that previously. However, Amalei Vachabar Minyumi Labai, Vachabar Minyumi asked Abaye, how could you do this? Vidom Rishumay Nicker, maybe the Rishum, maybe the original writing is still going to be recognizable. Vitanya, we have a brass that we just learned above, Nimchak anitashtesh, if a shtar got erased or got smudged, Imrishumay Nicker, kosher. If it's still recognizable what was written there, it's kosher. And so, what are you gaining by writing this, so to speak, puzzle shtar? If we're going to be able to tell what was written on in the first place, it's going to be valid. So Amalei Abaye responded to him, Mika mina shtar ma'alya? Did I say that my cipher should write a proper shtar? Aleph Beis ba'alma kamina. I was saying you should just write the Aleph Beis. In other words, Reb Achabar Minyumi understood that what Abaye was telling his cipher to do was to write a proper deed, a proper title for them, and then erase it, and then write it again, and have the Edom sign on the bottom where it wasn't erased, and that way it's going to be puzzle. So his question to Abaye was, but if we could still see the original writing, then it's going to be valid, and that means that they're going to have two shtaris. And so that's why Abaye responded to him, I wasn't telling my cipher to write a real shtar for them. I was just telling him to write some letters of the Aleph Beis, erase it. So now we have an erased piece of parchment, and then he'll write this fake deed for them on the erased part, and the Edom are going to sign on the non-erased part. Now we have a similar case about a guy not having a shtar. Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa. Harei Shabava Amar, a guy comes to Bezin and says, Avad shtar chayvi, I lost my shtar chayv. Reuven comes to Bezin and says, Shimon owed me $100. I had a shtar, but I lost it. Now Av Misha Amru Edim, even if the Edim say, Anu kasavnu chasamnu v'nasanu loy, we wrote it, we signed it, we gave it to him, so the loan actually did take place. Shimon really did borrow $100 from Reuven. Ain kaisvin leis a shtar. We're not going to write another shtar for him. Now, medvar murim, when was this said? B'shtari halva, specifically with a loan document, as we said. And that's because it could be that number one, Reuven didn't lose the shtar, and he's going to collect double from Shimon. Or even if he did lose the shtar, maybe he'll find it later on, and once again, he's going to collect double from Shimon. Avol, however, shtari mekachu memker kaisvin. If it's a shtar mekachu memker that Reuven bought a piece of property from Shimon and he lost that shtar, we will write another shtar for him as long as the edim confirm that they actually did write it, because that means that Reuven really did buy the property. So we will write another shtar for him. Chutz min achrayis shabai, except for achrayis in it, meaning Reuven just has a little bit less koyach now, that let's say somebody whom Shimon owes money to comes to Reuven and takes that property away from him because it was meshubah to that loan, Reuven's not able to go back to Shimon to get reimbursed. Kof samach tesamot alpha on top, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Av shtar mekachu memker in kaisvin, even a shtar mekachu memker, we're not going to write for him. Rav Shimon Gamliel also says something similar. Hanois matanot chaveiroi, if a guy gives a gift to his friend and he writes that in a shtar, Reuven gave a property to Shimon, writes it in a shtar, gives it to Shimon, and Shimon simply handed the shtar back to him, that matana goes back. No official kinyan happened. All he did was simply hand the shtar back to Reuven. According to Shimon Gamaliel, that's considered like the matana is going back as well, and now it's Reuven's field once again. It is a valid matana. And this is where Shimon Gamaliel argues with Anakama that if Reuven comes to Bezin claiming that a shtar mekachu memker was lost, we're not going to write a new one for him, because it could be that he handed it back to Shimon, and that's considered like Shimon reacquiring his property, even though he never bought it and no kinyan was done. And now if we're going to write a new shtar for Reuven, he's going to come to Shimon and take the property away from him. However, again, the Chum and Tanakama argue with this that there's no problem. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow explaining part of this braisa. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.